Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
Welcome to the Outreach Program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to upgrade license status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the general class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly. Now, this is the last week, though, which will be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Tuesday, and that's our next one. It'll be next Tuesday, and that'll be the last one. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS, that's S-C-A-R-S, server at either Echolink node number 96140 or IRLP node 9614 or All-Star node AST 27404. Letting it drop. For those who are interested, please contact myself, Mike, KD0CDQ, via email. And our email address is voip@voipnet.southcars.com to enroll in this class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner you will be connected into the course. Remember, these are recordings, so you can continue with this. It doesn't just end this Tuesday. It goes on. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in the presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at voip@voipnet.southcars.com. It should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email at voip@voipnet.southcars.com. This session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website. Now here's the address. It's voip.southcars.com. That SouthCars is SouthCars.com. Letting it drop. Now please note, for all our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one found posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during this session, just to avoid any confusion with questions that may have been deleted or some changes. Now, do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? Please come aboard now. Well, let us begin this evening's program. Tonight, our cavalcade of stars are two instructors. If you listened a little earlier before we started, it's KC0RMO, Gary, in New York State. And we'll also have K6SUN, Kathy, down in Florida. So we've kind of got a triangle going here, New York, Florida, and I'm out here in Kansas. So listen, enjoy, kick back. We're going over technical questions, but still they can be fun, and we'll try to make it as interesting as possible. And this evening's schedule, we're going to be covering Golf 7 Alpha, through Golf 9 Alpha, so the G group, G7A through G9A. And this evening, we'll begin with Kathy, K6SUN. If you're there, take it away. It's all yours. Over.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. And I assume you received my email. Gordon is a little bit under the weather still, and so Gary was gracious enough to step in and help. But I do want to put out a welcome to N4FTD, Paul. You know, Mike, he's the one that puts all of our recordings on our website, and it's nice that he's connected this evening. And Roger, W4RFJ, is having problems connecting, so he sent an email, and he's going to keep trying. This is Kathy, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and before we begin this evening, my location, Port St. Lucie, we had a high today of about 82, and I think it's still about 80 degrees. Let me drop it for a moment, and we're going to begin our session this evening. All right, my question begins with sub-element G9 about antennas and feed lines. G9A, which we're going to go have a few questions on, antenna feed lines, characteristic impedance, and attenuation, SWR calculation, measurement and effects, and matching networks. So my first question is Golf 9 Alpha 02, and it reads, what are the typical characteristic impedances of coaxial cables used for antenna feed lines at amateur stations? And our choices are Alpha 25 and 30 ohms, Bravo is 50 and 75 ohms, Charlie is 80 and 100 ohms, and Delta is 500 and 750 ohms. Correct answer is Bravo, 50 and 75. Now you'll note also that commercial made radios are designed for 50 ohms. So with that, let me throw it out there for any comments or any questions on this question, and then Gary, you can go right ahead and take the next question. All right, hearing no questions from anyone, Gary, your question, the next one is Golf 9 Alpha 04.
And thank you, Kathy, and G9A04 is exactly what it is. Hello there to everybody. And it's great to be here tonight. Unfortunately, Gordon not feeling too well, but nice to be here, and we're sure hoping he's feeling better very shortly. So here's our question, all right, and listen carefully because there will be a test, okay? What might cause reflected power at a point where the feed line connects to an antenna? Now here's your choices. A, operating an antenna at its resonant frequency. B, using more transmitter power than the antenna can handle. C, a difference between feed line impedance and antenna feed point impedance. And D, feeding the antenna with an unbalanced feed line. Well, your correct answer is C. All right, now when a feed line and an antenna differ, there will be a reflected power situation. The amount of difference denotes the seriousness of the situation. And just to give you, without throwing a lot of mumbo-jumbo in there, okay, certain antennas that you can make, wire antennas particularly, can run very high at the feed point. And you might be running a 400-ohm antenna trying to feed it with a 50-ohm line, all right? And it's just not going to play too well. So we have things like tuners and balans and things like that too. Equalize the impedance match on the line. Okay, so remember that when your feed line and antenna are different, you're gonna get standing wave radiation, high standing wave radiation. So I'm gonna drop it for a minute and see if anybody has a question. Nope, nothing heard. Okay, Kathy, it's all yours. The next one is G9A05, and here's Kathy.
Well, thank you so much, Gary. And before I go into my question, I do want to emphasize at this point to our students or anyone listening interested in taking the general class, now's about that time you want to go in on any of those sites that have the test questions and begin taking some of those test questions. And you've always heard me say that if I don't get at least 80, 90, or 100%, I will go back and redo them. And when I took my general, that's exactly what I did. So right now I would suggest that you maybe take the time a little bit during the day and actually take some of those tests. Let me drop it here for a moment. And like Gary said, my question is Golf 9 Alpha 05. Let me pause for just a moment. All right. My question reads, how does the attenuation of coaxial cable change as the frequency of the signal it is carrying increases? And our choices are alpha, attenuation is independent of frequency. Bravo is attenuation increases. Charlie, attenuation decreases. And delta, attenuation reaches a maximum of approximately 18 megahertz. That's a very interesting word. Our choices are, or our correct answer is bravo, attenuation increases. You know, this is important to remember. If you choose the wrong coax for use at VHF and UHF, you could be losing the majority of your signal in the feed line before ever reaching your antenna. So with that, let's see if we have any questions, any comments. And you know, since it's rather quiet out there, Mike and Gary, maybe someone would just like to come aboard and say hi to us this evening. But let's see if there's any comments or any questions, first of all.
RMO with a comment.
Well, super, Gary. Go right ahead. And if there are no other comments or questions, you can take the next question, which will be in the Bravo area. So what's your comment this evening?
Well, thank you, Kath. I just wanted to say that if you were listening with maybe half an ear to that question, go back and think about what was being said. It's one of the biggest mistakes that amateurs, new people tend to make. Okay, and that's, you know, you figure you're going to save a buck and you buy the old El Cheapo brand coax, you know, and then you try to run it on a 440 antenna, and you're wondering why you're not getting out. Well, the reason is that you know, you got 100 feet of this stuff and it's attenuating at something like 4 dB for 100 feet, and that's a big loss, you know. It's like, so get familiar with how much you can lose on a given type of cable, okay, because there's a big difference between RG8 and say LMR 400. So get to know those things, because that's gonna make the difference in how well you get out. So I just wanted to pass that along, and not that it wasn't through personal experience. Ha ha ha! You know, so I've done it, so I kind of learned the hard way many, many moons ago. So let's just throw it out there. If anybody has any comments on that or wants to throw something else in the mix.
This is KD0CDQ. Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Gary. And I would feel when you're buying things, whether it be on the Internet or you're going to a radio store, ask them, am I buying the right thing? You know, we always want to seem like we know everything when we go in a store, but always ask them, is this the right cable that would go in, and tell them what your application is? You know, look them in the face or make sure on the Internet that you get the right answer. Don't just take for granted. I bought a lot of cable on auctions. You know, we have these ham auctions out here, and I've been fortunate. The cable that I bought has been old cable, but it's worked, and it's been okay. But I'm taking a chance with that, and you always realize when you buy something in a store, in a shop, or on the Internet, they will not always take it back. So ask questions. That's all I have there. Go on ahead. I think Kathy's got the next one.
Well, thanks, Mike. No, next one's mine. But I did want to comment, do a little follow-up on your comment, too. If you're lucky enough to have a ham radio outlet or you know, a retail store where you live, lucky you, because a lot of places don't have that. And you know, you don't have the guy behind the counter that you can talk to about that. And I'll tell you something, those are a great source of information. Those guys are a great, or gals, are a great source of information. They can fill you in. You know, if you're a newbie, you know, it's you know, everybody buys their first 100 feet of coax at some point in their life, right? You know, so and you probably don't know an awful lot about what to get. So there, and that is one of the bigger mistakes you can make, and one of the easiest way to improve what you're doing is knowing what the right cable to hook your antenna up to is. Okay, so that's that for that. We're going to move along here And go to the next question, which is G9B02. G9B02. And it reads as such. Which of the following is a common way to adjust the feed point impedance of a quarter wave ground plane vertical antenna to be approximately 50 ohms? 50 ohms is pretty much the magic number that you want to see when we're talking about coax cable. So here's your choices. A, slope the radials upward. B, slope the radials downward. C, lengthen the radials. Or D, shorten the radials. Okay, now just to give you that mental picture again, this is for a ground plane antenna. We've all seen them. That's that antenna with the one vertical radiator and the four kind of like lobster claws hanging off the side, or the little tentacles off the side. And that's what they call a ground plane antenna. The correct answer here is B, Baker, slope the radials downward. Let me buy a nickel and I'll tell you all about it. Remember, a quarter wave needs a ground plane to make it work. In the case of a quarter wave ground plane, the ground rods are simply replacing the missing quarter wave for a half wave dipole. All right, so think of it as just kind of a reconfigured dipole. Okay, you've instead of taking that second half, you've split it into four pieces, and you've made a little crisscross on the bottom, and that's taking that place. Okay, that forms your ground plane, but you're not going to go anywhere without that. Okay, and the reason that it was an interesting thing with this, when we're talking about adjusting the feed point impedance by sloping those radials downward, if you ever have the chance to hook a ground plane antenna up to a to an antenna analyzer, if you know what one of those are, and if you're lucky enough to have one, you can actually see the impact that slope downward has on that when you gauge the impedance with that. Pretty cool little piece of equipment to have, and it really shows you a lot. Also, the just as another quick point to pass along, usually those radials have to be on a 45 degree angle. Okay, 45 degrees is where you want to point them. Let's see if there's any if there's any comments right now. So we'll open it up for those said comments. Okay, no said comments. Okay, so we'll throw it over to Kathy for G9B03. Kath, it's all yours.
Thank you so much, Gary. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And like Gary was saying, my question is a Gulf 9 Bravo 03. It reads, what happens to the feed point impedance of a ground plane antenna when its radials are changed from horizontal to sloping downward? And our choices are A, it decreases, Bravo, it increases, Charlie, it stays the same, and Delta, it reaches a maximum at an angle of 45 degrees. You know, down we're sloping. Before I give you the answer, I'm going to give you an explanation. So downward sloping your ground rod causes the antenna to be more of a halfway dipole and therefore brings the feed impedance closer to what is needed. So your correct answer is Bravo. It increases. With that, let's see if we have any comments or any questions from those listening. And after that, Gary, you can just move on into the next question, or you can make some comments. So any comments, any questions? Okay, hearing no comments and no questions. Gary, the next one is yours, and it's a Gulf 9 Bravo 04.
Well, thank you, Kath. And really, if you look at the two questions that we just addressed, the G9B02 and the G9B03. All right, we were talking about the slope of those ground radials, the slope of those radials on a ground plane antenna. And what they kind of did is they reinforced each other, right? We're talking in B02 there's a way to adjust the feed point impedance, okay? You want to get it to be about 50 ohms if you can. And then we get a little more specific in B03. We're telling you that when we start bending those radials down, okay, that we're actually increasing the impedance. So if you were running low, if you measured out 38 ohms, what would you do? You're going to bend it down. And again, that ideal angle is about 45 degrees. Your mileage may vary on that, but that's where you want to be. Okay, let me buy a nickel, and then we'll go down. We'll go on to G9B04. Okay, G9B04. What is the radiation pattern of a dipole antenna in free space in the plane of the conductor? All right. A, it's a figure 8 at right angles to the antenna. B, it's a figure 8 off both ends of the antenna. C, it's a circle, equal radiation in all directions. D, it has a pair of lobes on one side of the antenna and a single lobe on the other side. Yeah, right. Okay, well, here's the answer is A. Okay, A. Now, this picture again, your dipole antenna hanging up in your backyard, and it has a figure 8 at right angles to the antenna. Just remember here that the majority of your signal is being transmitted on the sides of the half wave. That is probably the easiest way to think about that, it's totally true. One thing on the on the exams, all right, on all the exams, actually, they will talk about right angles and parallel to and blah 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 and this and that. And I have this like mental block. I don't know if it's me, probably, but you know, I see right angles and I kind of freeze and I'm like, wait a minute, a right angle? What is a right angle? it's like yeah, okay. Well, you know, if you're just sitting there, you don't think about it. When you're taking a test, it kind of throws you. So just remember that the majority of your signal is being transmitted on the sides of that half-wave dipole. That's all you need to know. Let's see if there's any comments or questions. Well, I'm a no here, nothing, Mr. Giuseppe. So we'll go to G9C03 and K6SUN. Kathy, take it away.
All right, thank you, Gary, and it's awful quiet out there. We have no comments and no questions. We don't even have anything from Kansas. So it makes us wonder if just you and I are talking, but that's okay. And I just want to remind everyone, along with starting to take your ham test, it's also we want to remind you to not memorize the alpha designator. You may want to memorize something in the question with something in the answer, but just don't memorize A, B, C, or D, because they do switch them around when it comes time to take your test. But that's just a clue for you. Let me take a pause, and then I'm going to do Golf 9 Charlie 03. Now, we're going away from Bravo section. We're going into Charlie now. Mine reads, which statement about a three-element single-band Yagi antenna is true? And your choices are alpha, the reflector is normally the shortest element. A Bravo, the director is normally the shortest element. Charlie, the driven element is the longest element. And Delta, load feed point impedance increases a bandwidth. Your correct answer is a Bravo. The director is normally the shortest element. You know, a normal Yagi will have the reflector element the longest, followed by the drive element, and then the director, which is the shortest. So with that, do we have any comments or any questions?
RMO with a quick comment.
Okay, Mr. RMO, with your quick comment. And then after that, you can go right into your question, because like I said, it's awful quiet out there. They're not even wanting to say hello to us this evening. Makes me wonder if we're just talking to each other. But what's your comment?
It's like the old war movies, you know. It's quiet. Yeah, too quiet. Yeah. It's like, I think people are just enraptured by this technical discussion. But it is. This is fascinating stuff. And I wanted to point out It's possible, again, that although, you know, with a technician license, you may be somewhat familiar with the Aggies because they are used in all different kinds of work, and certainly you're going to see them on VHF, UHF. But you may not be all that familiar with it. And what a Yagi is a directional gain antenna, okay, which it allows you to point that beam. It's a beam. Kind of looks like one of the old TV antennas from many, many moons ago, okay? You point that in the direction that you want to try to contact, and that signal goes out, and because of its configuration, you get a signal gain. And some of those gains can be fairly substantial. One of the things I talked about on the TIN, we were talking about 6 meters the other night, I was talking about a homebrew 6 meter Yagi that gave an 8.5 dB gain that you could build for $40. You know, 8.5 dB is a lot of gain. So that gives you an idea. You can really get out with a Yagi antenna. And actually, I'm going to put that thing together myself, and I'm going to have a little fun. Yeah, by the way, Just because I wanted to brag about it, I just bagged my 25th country, and I got the award for it on the wall. Yay, go Gary. Okay, let me buy a nickel, and we'll do the next question. Okay, our next question is G9, Charlie 04, G9 C04, and it's very similar to the question that Kathy read, okay? Which statement about a three-element single-band Yagi is true? A, the reflector is normally the longest element. B, the director is normally the longest element. C, the reflector is normally the shortest element. And D, all the elements must be the same length. And again, that probably sounds exactly like what Kath just read, but it's a little different. The correct answer here is A, the reflector is normally the longest element. Now, this question, in keeping with the others, should make itself pretty much self-explanatory. The reflector is normally the longest element, okay, followed by the drive element, and then the director, which is the shortest. Okay, anybody got any questions on this one?
I have a comment, if I may make it. I've been sitting here quietly because I've been doing pictures in my mind, in my brain. I've been actually picturing exactly what you're talking about. And happens to be I'm reading a book. It's called The Human Journey from Living in Trees to Understanding the Cosmos, called The Upright Thinkers. And all through the ages, from Aristotle to the dudes today, many people who have the ability to bring new things to the front, to the forefront in science, look at pictures in their mind first. So sometimes you think they're just sitting there numb, like we're sitting here numb. But really, we're looking at pictures in our mind of what we're envisioning before we say anything. And that's the way the masters have done it. So I guess little weeny people like us, we're probably doing the same thing but don't realize. When we read something technical, when we see something technical and we kind of look off into the distance before the teacher slaps you, you're actually envisioning, hopefully, a picture of what you just read or what you just heard. And I know I do that a lot. I'm trying to make a picture of it. And so sometimes it seems like I'm dead quiet. Well, I am dead quiet because my mind is working. The rest of me is numb. That's all I've got. KD0CDQ, back to y'all. I think it's Kathy's up next. Over.
You are correct, Mike. I am up next. And my question is golf. 9 Charlie 05. It reads, how does increasing boom length and adding directors affect a Yagi antenna? And your choices are the gain increases, and that's alpha, bravo, the beam width increases, Charlie, the front to back ratio decreases, and delta, the front to side ratio decreases. And my suggestion is the question is telling you increases. So you know those two things that say decrease would probably not be the correct answer. So the correct answer is alpha, again, increases. And I would think that only memorization would be needed on this question. So very possibly just memorize the gain. You know that something's increasing. So just memorize. Unless you have some further comments on that, Gary or Mike, that would be my comment on that question. So any comments, any questions before we move on into the next question?
That's KC2RMO with a comment, and I think probably the easiest thing to do is, yeah, just, you know, memorize that. If you want, if it'll help you, you know, think about too what they're saying to you here. How does increasing the boom length and adding directors affect the Yagi antenna? So all you're doing is you're making it bigger, right? So bigger antenna, more gain, right? Bigger antenna, more gain. Bigger antenna, more gain. So you can either memorize that that gain increases, you know, that's your answer, or if you need something to kind of trigger what that's all about, is bigger antenna, more gain. Any comments here?
It's kind of like with a baseball glove. Sometimes the bigger glove you have, the more you can catch. Well, think of it that way. The bigger the antenna it is, hopefully, the more you can catch. Over.
Yeah, it's like trying to catch a knuckleballer. You know, look at it that way. You know, those guys use the extra size mitt to catch knuckleballers. Anybody else out there have a comment? Nope? Okay. Then we'll pick it up on G9D02. And this is a type of antenna that you're going to see from time to time on these tests too. The commission likes to talk about these. And the question reads: which is of the following is an advantage of an NVIS antenna? NVIS, an NVIS antenna. What is the advantage of that? And here's your choices: A, low vertical angle radiation for working stations out to ranges of several thousand kilometers. Or B, high vertical angle radiation for working stations within a radius of a few hundred kilometers. C, high forward gain. Or D, all of these choices are correct. Okay, here's one where you don't want to be a sucker. Don't choose D on this one. Okay, a lot of times, I mean, you got about a 50-50 shot, right, on all of those when you see all these choices are correct. But in this case, the correct answer is B, high vertical angle radiation for working stations within a radius of a few hundred kilometers. That's the advantage of the NVIS. Let me buy a nickel and I'll tell you why. Okay, when we want to work long distances, okay, when we want to go a long way, all right, we want the antenna to have what's called a low takeoff angle, all right, low angle of radiation. In this case, with the NVIS antenna, the higher the angle of radiation produces more stations closer to you. All right, NVIS antennas are favored by the military exactly for that reason. They use those for close communications, you know, a couple hundred miles and in within that, okay, within a 200 mile, say, circle, okay. That's the advantage of it. It provides reliable communications close in. They don't need to go a long ways. They just need to talk to people that are in the area, and this serves them very well. So do we have any comments on that?
So going back to our national pastime, it's the same as throwing a ball. If you want to go for distance, you keep it closer to the ground, you know, more. And if you want to just to give a pop-up goes up and comes back down, a shorter distance. So think of a ball. Long distance, you give it a more of a horizontal throw. If you want it to go short, or you hit it, you want to hit it short, you pop it up. Back to y'all.
I like that, an NVIS pitch. That's pretty cool. Anybody else out there have anything? Nope. Okay. We move along to K6SUN and question G9D03. Kathy, take it away.
All right, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is my last question for the evening. And before we move on into the final part, Gary will be riding along with me for the final course class on Tuesday as well. And I'm really thankful that he is here both days. But mine number is Golf 9 Delta 03, and as I said, it's my last question for this evening. It reads, at what height above ground is an NVIS antenna typically installed? That's NVIS. Alpha is as close to 1/2 wavelength as possible. A Bravo, as close to 1 wavelength as possible. Charlie, height is not critical as long as it is significantly more than 1/2 wavelength. Or Delta, between 1/10 and 1/4 wavelength. And actually, Delta is the correct answer. The closer to ground is needed. The Earth's reflections aid in the high angle of radiation. So with that, I'm going to throw it out and see if we have any comments or any questions. And Gary, if you want to add any additional information to that, please do. If not, the last question will be yours for this evening.
All right, KC2RMO, with just a quick comment on that. The closer to the ground, okay, the Earth reflections aid in the high angle of radiation. And really, look at the Earth as a big reflector, you know, like one of those suntan reflectors, right? That's what it's doing, and it's close to the ground, you know, so it's going to be a high bounce. It's going to be a straight up bounce. You're going to be warm in the clouds, okay? You're not taking off to the horizon. You're just going overhead, and it kind of look at it as a cone spreading out, you know, but for a limited distance. So you're going to be talking close in. You're going to be in that 200-ish mile range, you know, but it will be reliable, and that's the advantage of the NVIS. Anybody have anything else?
What I'm looking at, in the stress of taking a test, people can get very confused. This could be a kind of a question that could confuse someone even if they knew the answer. Maybe if you keep in mind that 1/4 wavelength is smaller than 1/2, remember 1/4 is smaller, and think maybe it's better to install it there above the ground, it's closer. But I would put a little bit of memory into this one, the 1/10, the 1/4 wave. I would try to do some memory so you don't get confused in the stress of the test, because 1/4 is smaller than 1/2. Over.
What else to say here? Yeah, that's a great point, Mike. I mean, if you look at that question, right, between 1/10 and 1/4 wavelength, all right, so those are teeny tiny little pieces of that wavelength, right? You know, because what your other choices are 1/2 wavelength, 1 wavelength, right? These are all big, big numbers. But 1/10 and 1/4, that's small, all right? So if you just remember, think small when it comes to NVIS, you're going to be okay. Any other questions, any comments? Nope. Okay. Well, we've come to the end of the trail, partner, and that end of the trail is G9D06. Okay, and we're talking about a different sort of antenna now. If you were to look at one, in one, you know how Mike was talking about visualization. This is an antenna called a log periodic antenna. And just Google one of those and take a look at the image. It looks a little bit like the Yagi. It looks a little bit like the old style TV antennas, but it's kind of different in the way it behaves. Okay, so what is which of the following is an advantage of a log periodic antenna? Here's your choices: A, wide bandwidth, or B, higher gain per element than a Yagi antenna; C, harmonic suppression; or D, polarization diversity. Well, the advantage of a log periodic is A, wide bandwidth. A wide bandwidth antenna is a wonderful thing. Let me buy a nickel and I'll tell you why. I was just talking to Mike before we went on the air, and my recent championship Q cell was to New Zealand from Syracuse, New York, on 40 watts. We did it with the other night. It was pretty cool. Using a digital mode called MFSK 16. But the antenna that we used, is a magnetic loop antenna. It is a great antenna for a lot of things, but the downside to that thing is it's not a wide bandwidth antenna. It's very narrow bandwidth, and every time you change more than a couple of kilohertz on that thing, you have to retune it. So after a while, it kind of drives you nuts. with a wide band antenna, with an antenna that has a lot of bandwidth to it, it's a lot more fun to operate, that's for sure. So by tuning each element to a different frequency or band allows for wide bandwidth in a single antenna. So you get a lot of bandwidth off of this one item that's sitting at the top of your mast. And believe me, that can make for a lot more fun in the ham shack. Let's see if anybody's got any comments. Nope, nothing to say here. Okay, well, in that case, Mike, I'm gonna turn it back to you to wrap this thing up. It's all yours.
Okay, thank you, Kathy and Gary. I think they did a fine job tonight. I'm going to give them applause here. Okay, that's not music, it's legal. Yes, they did another fine job tonight, and I really appreciate Gary coming up to bat when he was most needed, because he only had a few days to plan this session, as they also have for planning Tuesdays. Now, Tuesday will be the last session, but that doesn't mean it's over. As I mentioned earlier, all of these sessions have been recorded, and they're available to you to go over at any time at your leisure. So it's not that it's a done deal. It's not a done deal. So if you have any questions, anything that's hanging on to you, like you have a question you just can't, except for memorizing, you just can't understand it and you want to know more about it, just send us an email at, and see if I get it right this time, voip.southcars.com. Send it to us. We'll answer you. You'll get an answer about that that help you clarify in your mind's eye why that question, and that's the answer to the particular question. Because really, with some of these antennas, if you have not worked with them, you're up in the air. You have no clue what you're looking at. The other day, I was flipping channels, and On the Waterfront was on, the old black and white On the Waterfront, and the young lady, she was up on the roof, Grace Kelly there, I think it was. She's up there on the roof, and all these antennas are all wrapped around her. And I was looking at the antennas, forget the star that's standing there running her lines. I'm looking at all those TV antennas on the roof, remembering the old days and all the antennas on the rooftops of these apartment buildings in a city. So these antennas, look them up. Look them up on the Internet and stare at them for a little while so that they kind of get burned in your mind. You know, what are we talking about, a Yagi and a log periodic and all of this stuff? And we're talking about radials. Well, look at the antennas. If you have to go to a website where they're selling stuff, that's okay. Doesn't matter, but often by entering on the Internet, like log periodic antenna, you'll get a host of pictures. And what I do sometimes, I copy some of those pictures and put them together on one sheet of paper, and I put it away. So I have these different antenna pictures in my file. Because when somebody mentions something like a log periodic antenna, I don't know. I know what it looks like, but I don't know that I've actually seen one in operation. So something like that would help me remember what we're talking about, looking at pictures. A lot of us are visual. Okay. Do we have any questions? Is there anything else? Okay. Kathy fixed me up there. The right address is VOIP and voipnet.southcars.com. I always picked the wrong thing to tell y'all. Good thing Kathy's there. It's in the text box here. I've written it in there. As you
I think Mike timed out. Let's see if he is able to get back in.
Yeah, I think I'm back in. I'm sorry. I was thinking it was longer than that. I wasn't thinking the right length of the time. And I'm not using the stopwatch tonight. I don't have it out on the table. Okay, does anybody have any questions about anything we covered tonight or anything thus far? If you have a question, bring it up right now. Go ahead now, please. Over.
RMO, and all I can say is, I could have been a contender, but seriously, just one real quick comment here. You know, when you're getting your general license, you know, one of the things about getting that general is that you're expanding the things that you're doing. Okay, and you know, you're going from VHF UHF to HF and a host of different modes, and you're going to be exposed to a lot of different styles of equipment, and part of that is the different types of antennas that you use in HF work, and it's really exciting. It's a lot of fun to me. That's you know, one of the more exciting aspects of the hobby is just getting to play with all this stuff. So you know, but the it can be a little overwhelming at first when they start throwing around log periodic and Yagi and Envis and all this stuff. Just take it in stride, you know, and you'll do just fine. You really will. But it's think of it as just these are the tools that you'll be using. These are the little items in your toolbox that you'll be playing with. Back to Mike.
Seek out a club. I don't care where you live. Seek out a club. Maybe you have to go a distance. Maybe you don't. Go to club meetings. Meet people. Talk to people. Don't be, you know, I'm going to use the word afraid. Don't be afraid to show people that you, that there's things you don't know. People love to share what they know. People love to give advice. People love to give free advice. So take some of it. Talk to people. See what they're using. Ask the questions. And when it comes time to buying things, you don't have to always buy new. I go to Hamfest. Most of my gear is pre-owned. It's like a car that's pre-owned. And the only way I've been able to buy it is early on. People have gone to Hamfest with me. We go together. And they're looking at everything in that room. And they come back and they'll tell me, hey, there's a HF rig over there, so-and-so. Or there's cable over here. Or there's an antenna. And that's how I've got stuff from experienced people. Spot things at Hamfest, tell me about it, or even when I bought my latest laptop, I asked this fellow who's really into electronics heavy, what's a good inexpensive 8.1, you know, Windows 8.1, what's a good one? And he sent me an ad on the internet, he sent me the ad, and I went down the store and bought it, and I've been so happy. I'll let it drop. I never would have bought this particular brand or this price range. It would have scared me for $240 to get a laptop. It was a loss leader. It was a loss leader, so I got it at a good price, but I never would have bought it without the advice of this electronics dude who really knew his stuff, and he's right. So same thing with radio. Go to Hamfest. See things that are there. Ask questions. I don't mean ask the guy that's selling it necessarily. Oh, they'll be straight. But ask to go with friends and ask them, what do they think of this or that before you buy it? And I'm fortunate, within 10 miles, I've got an Associated Radio very close. I can go buy things fresh and talk to the salesman, as Gary was saying. But if you have to buy on the internet, ask your friends. Find things. Download something off the internet and show it to them at a meeting or at a club gathering. Is this good? Is this the right thing for me? Now ask them. People, again, love to give free advice. So take it. This is a sport. This is a hobby that you can benefit because people like to help one another. It makes us all feel good and we can help somebody else. Okay, anybody have any questions? Okay, we're close enough to the top of the hour. I'm going to ask Kathy to disconnect the recordings. So while Kathy is disconnecting the recordings, let's all give her silence. Let's just be quiet so she can cut all of the recordings off. This is KD0CDQ for South Cars. Going silent.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another an hour series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.